Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Welcome to the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us today is Nassau County District Attorney Kathleen Rice. Rice, co-chair of the new Moreland Act Commission, begun by Governor Andrew Cuomo and Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, was recently named president of the District Attorneys Association. Rice was a Democratic candidate for Attorney General in 2010. Kathleen Rice, really, thank you so much for taking the time to do this with us.
Thank you for having me.
So what's it like to be a district attorney? I mean, you know, we think of, you know, Tom Dewey and people like that, racket busters, crime busters. Is that you?
That still is what the job is. I have to tell you, Alan, it is the greatest job that you can have in law enforcement, I think, as a lawyer. I was fortunate enough to become the first woman DA ever on Long Island, and to do it at a time when law enforcement was really going in a much more community-based direction has enabled me to do some really innovative things in Nassau County that we've been able to export throughout the state of New York, and has really changed the way people look at DA's offices and their relationship with the community.
So give us an example, Kathleen Rice, of export that you put out there that other people are now imitating.
So we did an initiative in one of our more high crime areas in the village of Hempstead, where there was a very notorious open air drug market. And the law enforcement year after year did the same kind of sweeps that really didn't result in any long-term change. We partnered with John Jay, a professor at John Jay, and we, for the first time, driven by a DA's office, did a specific initiative that, you know, addressed the specific drug dealers in that area, but then also engaged the community and asked the community what they wanted for long-term success in their community. And we were very successful in large part because we did engage the community. You know, in years past, the community had no say in how law enforcement addressed crime issues in their community.
And what did they want?
What they wanted was a say. They want, because a lot of the people who commit crimes who were committing crimes in this specific area, they knew. They were their relative or their brother or their friend. And it was just generation after generation getting caught up in this cycle of recidivism. And what they wanted was real reform. What they wanted was, if you don't want people dealing drugs on the street, are you going to give them an alternative? Are you going to set up, what we did was we set up a resource center where all of our social service agencies that are already in existence are co-located. Mm. So you can walk in off the street and say, I want to get my GED. I need to get my driver's license so I can get a job. I need aftercare for my child. I need drug treatment. And you can cut your way through the labyrinthian maze that very often
sounds like a great idea.
Oh, it's fabulous. And it's actually been implemented throughout the state through the Department of Criminal Justice Services, and the Department of Justice, DOJ, has done it on a national level. So these are the kind of things that I try to do in my neck of the woods, addressing problems that are, endemic in so many communities across the state and across the country, to say, hey, look, we could do it here, and we were successful. You can do it as well.
Now, Kathleen Rice, you sound and you look like a potential statewide candidate for an office. If Andrew Cuomo runs for president and wins, would you run for governor?
You know, I have to say, I never preordain what I'm going to do. I mean, you can't really ever say what you're going to do in life. What you can do is put yourself in a position to be as effective as you can be. It's no secret that I think that I can contribute on a much larger scale. I ran statewide 3 years ago for attorney general because it was an office I felt I could do a lot of good with. And if an opportunity like that were to present itself in the future, I would have to see if it was the right time. But I certainly love New York State. I love Long Island. I love public service. And I do think that there may be an opportunity in the future to contribute on a larger scale. But I just, who has the cards?
Insult intended, but I don't hear a hint of a Long Island accent in your voice. What is that?
Maybe it's, the Catholic grammar school upbringing with very strict teachers and the nuns. I don't know. I don't know. This is the way everyone in my family sounds. I think it's Long Island, but I guess there are different accents from different areas.
Let me go to the crux of the matter, which is the Moreland Act Commission. Yeah. The governor has had his contretemps with the state legislature. They didn't give him what he wanted in terms of cleaning up Albany. And he said, okay, you're not going to do that. I'm going to appoint a Moreland Act Commission, which he has the power to do. He did that with Eric Schneiderman's help, the attorney general, who deputized everybody on the Moreland Act. It always reminds me of Matt Dillon. You know, he would go outside of Dodge and he'd say, you can't arrest me, you're outside of Dodge. He'd flip over his badge and say, yes, but I'm a U.S. Deputy U.S. Marshal also. So the Moreland Act Commission has not one but three chairs. Sometimes when there's diffuse authority, nobody has authority. So tell us about how that's all being organized.
So there are five commissioners that were chosen by the governor. And there was, in order, I guess, for as organizational, they were set up as three co-chairs. So I'm one of the co-chairs. Bill Fitzpatrick, who's the DA in Syracuse, Onondaga County, is the other one other co-chair.
Is he a Democrat also?
He's a Republican.
Republican, okay.
And Milt Williams is a former federal prosecutor who is now in private practice, a very accomplished attorney in private practice now. So the three of us really kind of set the tone. We are the ones that sign off on subpoenas that are going to be issued. We run the meetings that we have with the rest of the commissioners, and we try to gain consensus in terms of where the investigation is going to go. I've taken that role very seriously. I'm involved at a very deep level because, first, let me say, I give a lot of credit to the governor for setting this up the way that he did, because involving the attorney general in the way that he did really distinguishes this commission from other commissions
Kathleen, he hasn't always had the easiest of relationships with this particular attorney general. So the fact that he has, I agree with you, shows some either maturation or development or something.
It shows a great, I believe, confidence in the commissioners that he chose, number one. And number two, a desire to, in my opinion, what the mission of this commission is to get government back on the side of the people and not on the side of the elected and connected. Where it is.
Now, Kathleen Rice, are you having success with your fellow commissioners? In other words, are you all keeping your eye on the same ball?
The commission is very clear in terms of what we feel our mission is. What the primary mission, we believe, is to expose the problems that exist in our government and our political system that has led to a really historic crisis in confidence on behalf of all New Yorkers in their government.
Could you be a little more specific?
Well, people are their confidence in their elected officials in New York State is at an all-time low. It also, you know, you look at statistics of how people approve of what their elected officials are doing in Washington. There just seems to be this general apathy, voter apathy, but also anger that government isn't working for the people anymore. It's
okay,
only
so
working
where are you
for
guys
elected
going?
Officials.
I'm sorry.
So where do we go? We are going to look everywhere. We are going to unturn every rock. We're going to follow the money. We're going to follow money wherever it goes. There is a corrosive effect that money has on politics and as an extension, government. And what we need is to get the government back on the side of the people as opposed to being an institution that helps elected and connected people.
Yeah, this legislature down the hill from where we're talking right now is for sale. We know that. There are cocktail parties. Everybody shows up for them. The same old lobbyists show up and get their checkbooks out. And you'd have to be dumb not to figure out that people, as I think John Arbuckle once said, get what they pay for.
Yeah.
And or the golden rule, he who has or she who has the gold rules. But the governor earlier had set up an ethics board known as J-COPE, which was supposed to do a lot of what you guys are looking at now and hasn't exactly distinguished itself. So now he goes and he appoints you guys. He's got $29 million in his own campaign account. Are you going to be afraid to follow all the money no matter where it leads?
There is no question that we're going to follow the money wherever it goes without fear or favor. Now, remember, a lot of the commissioners are elected DAs across the state from both political parties.
And they have no bosses.
And no boss, but to follow what our ethical obligation is as DAs and as commissioners on the Moreland Commission, which is to do what's right. We are working for the people of this state, not for any independent elected official or body. And look, that may be why there's some fear. People who are in positions of power have fear about this commission. This is not a witch hunt. We are going to follow the money wherever it goes.
So we said that. So now give us an example of where the money might go.
Well, there are a number of different areas where it shows the corrosive effect of money. First of all, we can talk about the Board of Elections, and this is within the executive order that created the Moreland Commission. It gave us a pretty broad agenda in terms of what we're going to look into. So we're looking into the Board of Elections, and are they really as effective a regulatory agency, which is what they're supposed to be, as they can be? And we're looking at the effect of lobbying. We're looking at the effect of, you know, campaign finance. Should there be a public finance system similar to the one that New York City has across New York State? Should we?
But if you come out with that rule that there should be, or that recommendation that there should be public financing, the legislature is still going to take its hand in front of its nose and go, meh.
There's no question. And my goal is not to have this commission issue a report that's going to sit on a shelf and gain dust as reports in the past have. And I think that our commission is in a unique position for a number of reasons. We have subpoena power, so we can get documents that have never been made public before into our hands, so we can look at the corrosive effect of money from a perspective that has never been seen before.
Do you have enough staff to do this?
Oh, yeah. We have 25 very involved commissioners. We are getting a lot of pro bono legal work done for the commission. We're hiring staff. We are going to have the resources that we need to complete our mission. But this is one of the issues. And as a prosecutor, I can tell you that the laws regarding, for instance, bribery, very, very poor on the state level. Yeah. We don't have the tools that federal prosecutors have.
As my mother used to
say,
accidentally on purpose. The state legislature passes laws which don't mean anything.
Well, it's hard to ask a legislature to load the gun that's being pointed at their own head.
Precisely. Right.
So that's why I see, if I use one word, which is the goal of this commission, it's exposure. To expose to the public. Everyone knows what laws, bribery, they understand that. But those arrests are isolated. They're always seen as one-offs, so to speak. Oh, that's just one bad apple. It's just another bad apple.
Sure.
But what I think people need to see is that it actually might be the vine that all these apples are on.
Sure.
That's actually the problem. And that's why I think the exposure and having public hearings, as many public hearings as possible, so that people in the state of New York can understand, wait, that's not illegal? That is not illegal? That activity is not illegal? Well, it should be. Or at least there should be more transparency. So the goal is exposure, and then coming up with a series of proposals that we can pass here, and getting the legislature to recognize, which I think most of them do, that things need to change. Government is not working for the people anymore. It works for the elected and the connected people, but it doesn't work for the regular person on the street
anymore. But so much, Kathleen, so much of this is loaded. I mean, we have a DA here in Albany who I like very much, David Soares. He had some state trooper investigators in his office. They took the state troopers out of there. They've always bled the Albany DA, because after all, that's where all of this stuff should be prosecuted. But it doesn't, because if you have, you know, a small office with no real staff, that's the kind of recommendation you might want to make.
It's going to be our mandate is very broad, as you can see from the executive order, which is another reason why I hope the public has faith in this process. We have a December 1st deadline. We're hoping to get most of this done before then. I know that sounds very ambitious, where there's going to be work that we have to do going into next year. But our goal is to expose this system for what it is in a way that people have never seen before.
Okay. We're delighted to have Kathleen Rice with us, who is the Nassau County Fighting District Attorney. I wanted to ask you this. What's the reaction of the legislature to you guys? You said some people are afraid. I'm presuming that the legislature is the target here, or in large part the target.
The legislature is not the only target. There's no question about that. I mean, the Board of Elections has nothing to do with the legislature.
Oh, well, I beg to differ with you there. I think that the Board of Elections, with its Democratic and Republican components, are heavily influenced by who Shelley Silver is and who Dean Skelos is. So I think that's all part and parcel of one system.
Well, that's what we're going to expose, is exactly how effective an institution like the Board of Elections is. Is it full of just political patronage, or is it an actual regulatory body that is ensuring that all politicians, any candidate for public office, is playing by the rules? But it would be unfair to say and inaccurate to say that the target of the Moreland Commission is purely the legislature.
Yeah, sure.
It is a very broad mandate that we have, and we are going to look everywhere.
But a lot of people think that Andrew Cuomo was so frustrated by the fact that the legislature would not pass a campaign financing or even more open system that he appointed the Moreland Act Commission. I don't think he made any secret about that. And so it obviously means that they have to be somewhat cooperative with you in order to make this work. But they're separate branches of government, which is why Eric Schneiderman's group was called into this thing. Obviously, you have some sense of where the problems are going to be or are already based on your communications.
I can say that it's the commission's hope, and what we have seen so far, is that everyone in this process wants the system to be better and is very likely going to be cooperative. That's my opinion. I hope that the test of time bears that out. But I think that a lot of the posturing that various elected officials have taken is just that. But that's what we're trying to cut through here. People are sick and tired of hearing the political posturing. Oh, this is what he's doing this for this reason. This one's doing that for that reason. People don't care about the finger pointing anymore. They just want to know why the system doesn't work and how we can make it better. And that's what this commission is going to do.
So when the smoke clears, is it possible we could see some indictments?
That's possible. It's well within our mandate. We have subpoena power. The executive order is very clear that if we come upon any potential criminal activity, that we are to make referrals to the appropriate agencies. We are very fortunate in New York State to have very active U.S. attorneys, 4 U.S. attorneys throughout the state and geographic areas. They have been very active. Everyone knows what Preet Bharara has been doing in terms of looking into the legislature, using wiretaps to uncover corruption at every level. But what my hope is at the end of this process is that it's not just one particular law enforcement agency that can do that, that the laws are clearer, and that we local DAs who have a lot of the institutional knowledge from a local standpoint have the tools that we need to be able to police the elected officials in our own area.
Now, this is so interesting because, as you just point out, there are 2 levels here. There's the state level. I think the game is loaded. In other words, I think that the people who are on state level, who have made the laws, have made them weak on purpose, as we have indicated up to now. And then we have the feds. And the feds traditionally are the ones who come in and do the policing. So how do you, as a Moreland Act Commission, deal with the federal law enforcement agencies?
We have reached out to all of them so that we can be clear about where our investigation is going. We don't want to affect any ongoing investigation that might be going on in any other law enforcement agency throughout the state.
Right.
We're all trying to work cooperatively together. I think everyone's goal is the same. It's to root out the bad players and to make the system more transparent and more accountable and more on the side of every regular, everyday New Yorker. I can't speak for, you know, the U.S. Attorney's offices or the Attorney General or any individual DA's office. They all have the power to be conducting their own investigations. But look, one of the reasons why this commission was brought into existence is that there was just this constant parade of elected officials being taken out of their home early in the morning in handcuffs. And it got to the point where it was almost expected that every day when you'd go to get your newspaper, you'd see one of those pictures or a perp walk, on the news or in the newspaper. And I think that's just led people to say, oh, gosh, they're all corrupt. If a democracy is going to work and be truly meaningful, if the public has no trust in their public officials, democracy can't exist. You have people not coming out on election day to vote because they say, my vote doesn't matter. I'm not going to bother to be involved. You have people just having this, you have people moving out of state saying, I don't think this government is working the way it should be for me. New York State is the greatest state in this country. We have to put it on par with other governments that serve their public better, their constituents better. I've said, and I will continue to say, that the goal of this commission is to put government back on the side of the people and not on the side of the elected and connected. And that is the problem that we have here. People, regular people on the street, you pull them off the street and you say, do you like, who's your local elected official? I don't know. They're all corrupt. Albany stinks. Washington stinks. I have no faith.
But if they do know them, they're more likely to like them than they are the institution.
If they know them personally, there's no question about it. That's true. But, you know, what do people, how do they gauge that? How many people are able to be in a position to meet their local elected official so that they can have that position, they can have that feeling of trust? The problem with New York State government is there's no transparency. The laws are porous. They're very opaque. They're very intentionally very difficult to enforce. And that doesn't
Agreed.
Work for the people.
But isn't it true that when Andrew Cuomo was the state attorney general and when he got to be governor, he said that this would be the most transparent administration in history? Do you think that's happened?
I think he has taken steps to go in that direction. Jay Cope was a step in that direction. He took a lot of
Why
the power—
are they calling it Jay Joke?
Well, that's, I don't know. I don't, I'm not a writer, although it's, you know, it's a cute acronym. But look, prior to Jay Cope, you had the Legislative Ethics Commission. And that was routinely seen as something that was more on the side of protecting legislators than it was
No question.
Enforcing laws and making sure that everyone's playing by the rules. So I think that Jay Cope was a huge step in the right direction. Is it perfect? No. Do we have a perfect system? No.
But you even had to warn them. The Moreland Act Commission, I read, even had to warn them not to destroy any records. What was that all about?
One of the first things that we did, which is very common in investigations when you plan on issuing subpoenas, is to say to all of the agencies from whom you're going to be requesting documents.
Board of Elections.
Board of Elections. Just want to let you know, here's a preservation letter. This is what we want you to preserve because we're going to be asking this for you to produce this to us later on. So that's a very standard
letter. Are you
satisfied
that they have complied?
We're getting compliance. We are getting compliance. And I'm sure if we don't, you'll know about it.
As a district attorney, when you do this kind of work and you find somebody involved in malfeasance of one kind or another or breaking the law, is there part of you that ever says, oh, God, I wish I didn't have to do this?
No, to be perfectly blunt, no. You know, I'm the DA in a county that is seen as one of the most politically driven counties in the country.
Right.
There was a Republican machine in Nassau County that was called a machine. Ronald Reagan said it's the greatest Republican machine in the world. I mean, this was years ago, but
how many years have you been in this office?
I was first elected. I took office in January of 2006. Now, remember, I was not part of any political system. I was a federal prosecutor in Philadelphia. I moved home to where my nine brothers and sisters and I were raised by my parents in Nassau County in Garden City, and I said, you know what? I'm going to challenge a 30-year incumbent. They said, the Democratic Party said, we're going to give you the line, but you got to raise your own money, run your own race, knock on your own doors. I said, fine, just give me the line. And I did it. I raised the money. I knocked on the doors. I beat a 30-year incumbent, which no one told me I could do, which really reaffirmed my faith in the system that, you know what, you can be an outsider who was well-intentioned, who's been in public service, not politics.
Did you ever suspect the people who were giving you money, Kathleen?
Well, there's not much I can give people.
Well,
so it's
somebody comes up and they're being accused of a crime and they think they may get a softer deal. They think that.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you have a lot of power.
Enormous power. And I have a very tight system of controls. We vet every single check that I get from supporters. And if there's ever an instance where someone has a case in my county, the money goes back. Because, look, I don't have anything to give, unlike people who are legislators or in different executive positions.
Has anybody ever come up to you and say, hey, I gave you money and now it's time to pay back?
No. No one has ever done that.
Amazing.
And I'll tell you that, you know, one of the things that I talked about when I was running was going after public corruption, because in that county that my home county, there was never any prosecutions, and maybe one, and it was done by the feds.
Yeah.
So I said, that's it. I'm not going to take money from anyone who works for me. I am not going to let anyone do any political activity who works for me. I am the only politician, quote unquote, in this office, because when I do these public corruption cases, whether it's going after, you know, following the evidence that might lead to a defendant a Democrat or Republican, I want to be able to have the public see that it is being done without fear or favor and is being done because we're just following the evidence, regardless of the political party of the target.
Well, Kathleen Rice, let me just say congratulations on everything you have done. It's been an amazing career. Our guest has been Nassau County District Attorney Kathleen Rice, President of the District Attorneys Association and co-chair of the Moreland Act Commission. Kathleen Rice, come back again and tell us how it's going.
I would love to, Alan. Thank you so much for having me.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org, and NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decision to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign. Online at nyscasa.org.